Would you turn with me in your Bibles to Mark chapter 4, please? So I'm going to start today by sharing a story with you, and this story took place back in 2009, and it involved my third oldest son, Aaron, who's here today, and he was learning from one of our neighbors about planting and seeding, and she had given him some sunflower seeds, and he was just 7 years old at the time. And Aaron was determined to plant them in this little tiny area of the complex we lived in. We lived in an apartment building, and we were on the bottom, so we had a little tiny yard with a little like cement kind of a thing with cinder blocks, and he was going to plant them in there. And me being the ever encouraging mother said, oh, that's not going to work. You know, like, there's crows that visit there. There's kids that trample in that area and play. The soil isn't very good. It's just whatever dirt was left behind or however it got there. I have no idea. But he insisted on planting these things anyway, and I didn't think much more of it until one of these little seeds began to grow. And we saw little bits of progress over the next number of weeks, and I was surprised it hadn't succumbed to the neighborhood kids or the cats or the crows or all of the other things that went on in this little backyard. But Aaron made sure it was watered, and eventually this was the result. Right? Oh, me of little faith. Quite an impressive size. And what we lacked in suitable growing conditions was made up for by the willingness of Aaron to sow and to plant sunflower seeds in a place where I never thought they could grow. And as I was thinking of this story, I thought about spiritual seeds. And I admit that I have had my doubts about planting spiritual seeds, on whether or not they would take root, on whether or not they would grow. And last summer, I had the opportunity to participate down in Los Angeles. They do a missionary training for people who are going into missions long term. And I had a chance to go down there for a week and participate in that in level one. And one of the days, they had what was called Ministry Training Institute. And it was based on a book by, is it John and Sonia Decker? Doing What Jesus Did. And so the presenter, Caleb, got up the morning that we were going to do this Ministry Training Institute in this week of training, and he said, today, you are going to lead someone to Christ. I panicked internally. I was like, what? We are going out on the streets of LA, and I'm going to have to, like, pick a random person and lead them to Christ today? And in my mind, I'm going through my testimony, going, what would I share? What wouldn't I share? I'm going through all the book verses in Romans that I know, and do I know them off of heart by heart? Do I have the reference right? I'm Googling some of them. I'm thinking, you know, of those little tracks that are familiar to many of you, Steps to Peace with God, where you flip through and they have steps to know Jesus as your Savior. So I'm going through that in my head, and I'm thinking, oh my, this is big. Well, anyway, it came as we began this training. It came to my realization that we were not going out onto the streets of LA, but we were going to practice with one another in this room. All right? Big sigh of relief. But my reaction in that moment made me ask myself, why did I hesitate internally? Why was there such panic? Why was there such fear? And what were my doubts? And I think if I said to you today, I actually have a bus waiting outside, so we're actually going to ditch all of this electronic stuff, and we're going to get into that bus now. We're going to go over to Thorburn, and each one of you today is going to lead someone to the Lord. We'll hang out at the community center and watch people come and go. What goes on inside of you? What is your initial reaction? Some of you might be excited by their opportunity. Yes! This is what I was made for. I am ready. Others of you might be a little more hesitant, or maybe just something a little in between. The thing is I didn't want that to be my reaction. I wanted to have that kind of assurance like Aaron did when he planted that sunflower seed. I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm going to plant it anyway. And today we're going to look at someone in one of the parables that Jesus shared in the New Testament that I hope will encourage all of us to plant whenever the opportunity comes. So let's look together at Mark chapter 4, beginning in verse 3, says this: "Listen, a farmer went out to plant some seed. As he scattered it across his field, some of the seed fell on a footpath, and the birds came and ate it. Other seed fell on shallow soil with underlying rock. The seed sprouted quickly because the soil was shallow, but the plant soon wilted under the hot sun, and since it didn't have deep roots, it died. Other seed fell among thorns that grew up and choked up the tender plants, so they produced no grain. Still other seeds fell on fertile soil, and they sprouted, grew, and produced a crop that was 30, 60, and even 100 times as much as had been planted. Then he said, 'Anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand.'" We're going to jump down now to verse 14. "The farmer plants seed by taking God's word to others. The seed that fell on the footpath represents those who hear the message, only to have Satan come at once and take it away. The seed on the rocky soil represents those who hear the message and immediately receive it with joy. But since they don't have deep roots, they don't last long. They fall away as soon as they have problems or are persecuted for believing God's word. The seed that fell on the thorns represents others who hear God's word, but all too quickly the message is crowded out by the worries of this life, the lure of wealth, and the desire for other things, so no fruit is produced. And the seed that fell on good soil represents those who hear and accept God's word and produce a harvest of 30, 60, or even 100 times as much as had been planted." So we're going to go today back to the very beginning of this parable, as this is where we're going to spend time focusing, and that's Mark chapter 4, verses 3 to 4a. And we start this parable with a farmer. A farmer went out to plant some seed. Not an agricultural committee, not a seed planting team, not a crop duster with a whole bunch of seeds maybe hidden in its hold somewhere, but it was one farmer. What qualified him to be able to plant this seed? I think it was that he had a knowledge of the seed he was going to plant. I think that he knew something about the soil that he was going to sow into. I think it was his knowledge of what the seed would require after he planted it. I think it was even an anticipation. He knew what to expect when harvest time would come. So are you and I farmers in this room? Are we farmers? Are we qualified to plant the seed of the gospel message in a world? Do you have an understanding of the seed that you're going to plant? Do you understand things that might keep people from embracing the message that you have to share? Have you experienced God's saving work in your own heart? Do you know what a person might need after they first heard the gospel? And have you envisioned what the harvest could look like when that seed germinates and begins to produce? Do you walk with an understanding that it is only God who can bring someone to salvation? And I'm confident as I went through that list that many of you would say, yeah, I understand all of those things. I know. And I would say to you today that you and I are farmers. We are in fact qualified because of Jesus's work in us to be ministers of the gospel. The farmer didn't say to himself, well, you know, maybe I shouldn't plant this year. I'm thinking at least 20% of these seeds are not going to do anything. So you know what? I'm not going to worry about it. Those odds, you know, or maybe it's 50%. What if I go out and only 50% of these seeds produce? Is that really worth the risk? I'm not so sure. I don't think that's what he thought at all. I think he understood that in order for there to be any life, something had to be planted. And our job is to plant. Let's take a look at what's next. The second part of this verse says, he went out. He went out. Sorry, I have just lost my spot. That just happened. All right. So he told them, go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone. Unfortunately, so often we interpret this verse to say, and he told them, come into your church, invite others into your church, and then you can preach the good news to them. Now, there are times where that's valid and good, and yes, we bring people and we invite them, and that's a wonderful thing, but so often we miss the key part. Go out. Go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone. I remember churches probably about 15, 20 years ago, many churches had this sign above their door. You are now entering the mission field. And this circulated quite widely. And the problem is that these slogans, sometimes after a period of time, they tend to lose some of their power and significance. You know, you think, what would Jesus do? That became a big thing, and now we kind of chuckle about it. Yet these statements still have powerful truth in them. When you can see this cartoon here kind of addresses that a little tongue-in-cheek, it says at the bottom, what do we do if they never leave the building? So when we leave this building, we do in fact enter the mission field. And there's that word again, field. The farmer could not cover his field from inside of his house. He went out. The farmer plants seeds by taking God's word to others. Taking God's word to others. So what is the science of the seed? Now, I do have to pause here for a minute because one of my sons, when we were talking a little bit about what I was going to share, he said, Mom, if you say that word science, all of the youth are going to fall asleep. So you're going to have to put a joke in there. So I have a joke for you. Are you ready for this? What do you call it when worms take over the world? Global warming. Yeah, a little bit of a planting joke there for you. Thank you for that, sons. So here is the science of the seed. Each seed contains the potential for life. Every seed that you and I plant contains the potential for new life in Jesus. A seed requires water, the correct temperature, and good soil to germinate and for life to begin. Here's the deal. You and I, we can control the temperature to some degree as we share God's word with others. We can be aware of the timing when we share. We can do some watering by following up on the seed that we've planted, making more than one invitation. There's a study that went out, this was a lot of years ago, may have changed since then, but they said it can take up to 10 invitations before a person is ready to receive the gospel message. So we can follow up again and again. And we can't always control the soil that we plant into, so that's a thing. But here's another thing. If we don't plant, if we don't cover our field, nothing will happen. Absolutely nothing. We had planters outside of the house we used to live in Airdrie. And every spring we'd go out and we'd look at these beautiful planters and in them was nothing. Why? Because we did nothing. We planted nothing. Occasionally a weed would pop up or something like that, but they were empty planters for the whole time we lived there. We do not have gardening skills, my husband and I. So a farmer went out to plant some seed, and as he scattered it across his field, it says the farmer scattered the seed across his field. And I did a little research into this kind of a planting, and it's actually a thing. It's called hand sowing or broadcast seeding. It means to disperse or spread the seed by hand over a large area. And a farmer will use this technique at times when dense plant spacing is required, or doing this time of sowing, it can also result in a really large harvest. So you can kind of make a bit of a connection there. And it can extend the harvest season. It's also a technique that the farmer may have to practice to get it down. So it isn't a random action. It's not a lazy action. It's not the farmer going, seriously, neat little rows, those things drive me crazy. Just, there we go. Hope for the best. So it's not something like that. It's very intentional and it's very personal. A number of years ago, I directed a camp where the theme of the camp was raise your voice. And our whole purpose for this week of camp was to really encourage kids to share their faith and to be vocal about what Jesus was doing inside of them. And each year we'd pick a theme song and we'd put actions to it and we'd make a video of it that our campers could bring home. And this particular year, the name of the song was called Broadcast. Here's a look at the lyrics to the chorus. And it went something like, we're going to broadcast all over the world that you are God, you are good. We're going to broadcast all over the world, you are God, and you are good. Now, it's a different use of the word broadcast, but it carries the same significance and meaning. Any broadcast has to do with spreading or dispersing over a large area. So a radio show that goes to reach the entire city, an internet broadcast that goes to reach the entire world, or in the case of our farmer, he was broadcasting, he was sowing and covering his field. Mark 4:4 specifies that he scattered across his field. Many years ago, well before my time, just saying, these types of bulletins were common. It says, get your land, free farms for the Dominion of Canada. Land was a hot commodity. And if you had fields and you could plant them, you would see results. You'd be living the good life. And you could lay claim to this land as your very own. These would be your fields. The farmer in Mark 4, he sowed in his field, it says. He knew where his field was. He knew where the tree was located in the corner of the field. He knew where the large rock pile was that couldn't be moved. This is not in the scripture. This is me putting in the story, just to be clear. He knew where the pathways intersected. He knew where the ground squirrels and the magpies would come and kind of congregate together and try to snatch up those seeds. Well, I'm here to tell you this morning that you and I, we have a field. You may even have more than one field. You may even not know that you have a field, and I'm here to tell you, we have a field, each and every one of us. These fields are our spheres of influence, the places you intersect people on a regular basis every day. You have a field in your community. You have a field in your school. You have a field in your workplace. You have a field where you do business. My question is, have you laid claim to the field that you own? Have you laid claim to it? Do you know your field? Do you own your field? Do you know where to go when it's time to plant? And I thought, you know, sometimes we can look even at where we are here at Cornerstone Church and go, we don't have a field. We're landing in the middle of an industrial area. We don't have a field. It's so hard to reach our community. We don't have a field. But people, you are the field of Cornerstone Church. Each one of you where you live are the field of Cornerstone Church. Each one of you where you work is the field of Cornerstone Church. We have numerous fields to plant in. You are the field. You have the fields to plant in. And here's another thought. Center Street Church, they have their fields, but they need us because our fields are different than their fields. They are responsible for planting in their fields, but they need us to plant in our fields. They can't reach the people you can reach. Only you can reach the people you can reach. First Alliance needs us. First Assembly needs us. Venue Church needs us. Connect Church needs us. All of these churches need us to be working in our fields. Their field is different. They have to sow and plant in their fields, and we need to be planting in ours. We want to stake the claim on our field, and we want to cover it. Find a field if you have to. Find another field if you have to. A number of years ago, I joined a rowing club, and this was back in BC. Part of it was recreation. I wanted to do something in my spare time that was physical and kind of get into shape. But part of it is I recognized I had a very small field. I lived in a community. My kids were older, so they walked to school on their own. I didn't see a lot of parents anymore. I didn't interact with them. I was doing ministry full-time, was working with preteens in a local church. That was part of my field, but most of my days were contained within the four walls of a church building. And I thought, I need a field. I need a bigger field. And so part of the motivation for joining this group was to enlarge my field, was to start to interact with people who maybe didn't think and believe the same way that I did, so that I could begin to plant seed. I heard someone say that one of the best fields we can own is actually the one we do business in. And they gave a piece of advice that I really thought, this is something I can do, and this makes sense to me. And they said, when you live in a community, try and do your business at the same place every time if you can. So if you go to Starbucks, go to the same Starbucks. If you can, go at the same time of the day where the same barista might be working. If you do groceries, look for the same cashier. If you go to a restaurant, look for the same section. They said, begin to build your field. Begin to look where you intersect with people on a regular basis and begin to be able to have conversations with those people. John 4:35 says, you know the saying, 4 months between planting and harvest. But I say, wake up and look around. The fields are already ripe for harvest. Notice the word fields there is plural. So we each individually have a field to plant in, and collectively we get the opportunity to sow seed in many fields. We need to tend to our field as others tend to theirs. And again, there can't be a harvest if absolutely nothing is planted. It's imperative that we plant for the harvest because we're not the only ones sowing. I want to read to you from Matthew 13, verses 24 to 26. The kingdom of heaven is like a farmer who planted good seed in his field. But that night, as the worker slept, his enemy came and planted weeds among the wheat, then slipped away. When the crop began to grow and produce grain, the weeds also grew. The enemy of our souls, Satan, is also sowing in our fields. There is a need for seed. I thought some of you might like that. I'm just surprised I found a graphic for it. What is being sown by our enemy? Confusion, despair, anger, addictions, pain, apathy. There is an urgency to our planting. There is an urgency to covering our field. We can't delay. We can't wait. Remember earlier I mentioned that the method of sowing used broadcast seeding has to do with densely covering a large area. Let's cover our fields with the truth and freedom found in Jesus so densely that there is no room for anything else to be planted. The farmer was qualified to plant seeds. He went out, he dispersed the seed, and he went into his field. So are there ways that we can assess the season and ways that we can know when it's a good time to plant and even how to plant? I do think there is. So first of all, I think a big, powerful way that we can plant a seed is by sharing our story. Now, I say that, and when I say that, my heart goes, oh, I don't like sharing my story. To me, my story is full of pain, and it brings that up. And someone reminded me this week that the world needs to hear that because my story ends with restoration and hope in Jesus and confidence. And as we share our story with the world, we can say, but that's not the end. There is more to your story. Inquire about other people's story. Find out what's going on with them and say, you know what? That sounds like a really painful story, but I have hope for you today. Let me tell you my story. Let me share where Jesus intersected and helped me along the way. That's what the world needs to hear. They need to find hope and confidence. This week I heard a story. A 6-year-old boy was killed in a tragic accident, and his parents didn't yet know the Lord. And so a friend of mine is going to visit them and to minister to them. She is somebody who has a relationship with Jesus and is going to do that. And I thought, that is someone who needs to hear a story that they can get through this and that Jesus will bring them through this. The people of this world need to hear our story. Another thing is we can get creative. So this appeared on my Facebook feed this week, and maybe even some of yours. This was posted by somebody we tag as our First Lady. She is the wife of our Foursquare president in Canada, Andy Faulkner. And Andy decided to take a risk and publicly invite her field in for tea. So around Monday or Tuesday, she put this sign up that says, tea time, 10 a.m. Saturday, in hopes that as neighbors and people pass by, that they would show up for tea. I posted in the comment section, I said, wow, I'm really inspired by that. And I want to read to you from Facebook the results. I was looking for them yesterday. I kind of want to say here, turn with me in Facebook, but I won't. Just because I think that'd be fun. But this is what she says. Oh my neighborhood tea party was a roaring success. Used all the folding chairs plus all our dining room chairs. Kids were playing Lego on the carpet I had set up in the carport. Well, the adults drank tea out of teacups outside in our driveway. Highly recommended. They want to do it again and to bring goodies to share next time around. People walked in off the street and got to know each other. I'm so glad I summoned up the courage to do this. So glad. And then there was another post to follow up that says, next we're going to do a children's story time in the summer. We've talked with a few of our neighbors, and they said, let's do a children's story time together. She is planting seed in her field. She has identified her field. And I had this picture this morning even of, you know, because guys, maybe bringing your neighbors over for a tea time isn't your cup of tea. But I thought, what about projecting a big screen version of the game on the outside of your garage and just putting out a bunch of chairs and a sign and saying, come watch the game, or something like that. There are ways that we can be creative. I am 100% inspired by what Andy did. And I'm already thinking, what can I do to plant in the new field that God is bringing me to that is outside the four walls of the church building? How do we engage and impact our community in a new and creative way? Let's plant and sow in our fields in a big way. Let's do it in a way that's risky. What Andy did, that was risky. There was feeds, there was little comments on Facebook between the time she put up the sign, the time of the event yesterday, going, I really hope somebody shows up, you know? So it's a risky thing. And I don't know, some of you might have encountered this in the last week. If you can't quite see the screen, there's piles of white fluff. This is the seed of the cottonwood tree, and this is up at Glenbow Ranch in Cochrane. And I was thinking about this. God created this process, this way for the cottonwood seed to reproduce, that the wind would take the seed, it would go everywhere, and guess what? Not every one of those seeds is going to result in a tree. And I think that's a little bit interesting. God knew that when he sent out all the seed, not everything would result in a tree. God knows that when we plant our seeds, not every seed we plant will germinate and come to life. But that isn't up to us. That's up to God. Our job is to plant. And when I walk around in this stuff, I have seasonal allergies. This drives me crazy. I want to scratch the eyes out of my head. I'm sneezing. Things are oozing. I have antihistamines right now, oozing up here and whatever, and yeah, nasty stuff. But it's a violent reaction I have to this seed. And I was thinking about it and thought, I want the world to react violently when we plant seed. You know, I think about Jesus, and when he spoke in the temple, Luke 19:47 says he was teaching daily in the temple, but the chief priests and the scribes and the leading men among the people were trying to destroy him. When Jesus spoke, when he shared what he came to share, people reacted violently. They reacted significantly. And I want to encourage us today, and you might like, well, that's a strange encouragement. Let's plant seed and people will want to destroy us. I don't get it. But isn't that what we signed up for? We said, God, we will share the gospel no matter the cost to us. And it says, blessed are those who share in the sufferings of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I want to plant seeds in a way that has a huge impact on the world, where they react significantly to what we bring to the table. Albert Einstein said, keep on sowing your seed, for you never know which will grow. Perhaps it all will. And Albert Einstein's a pretty smart guy, agnostic. He didn't claim faith or disbelief in God, but even he understood this principle. We won't know the quality of the soil we are sowing into until we plant. Our job is to plant. God's job is to bring the seed to life. Our job is to plant. God's job is to bring the seed to life. So I want to encourage you today, spread the gospel, spread the good news, stake your claim, claim your land, tell your story, and cover your field. Identify that field and cover it. Romans 10:13-15 says, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they've never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? That is why the scriptures say, how beautiful are the feet of the messengers who bring good news. Spread the good news. Stake your claim. Tell your story. Cover your field. Just before we close today, I have one more thought to leave with you, and I asked Barry if I could do this, and he said, absolutely, go for it. And it occurred to me as I was preparing for this week, I was out walking at Glen Bowl Ranch in the midst of all the pollen, and praying a lot of my prayers recently as we're in a transition has been, God, teach me to be a good pastor. God, teach me to be a good preacher. Teach me to be a good wife, a good mother. And as I was driving home, I just had this little nudge, which I believe was a nudge from the Holy Spirit that said, you know, Carolyn, why don't you pray, teach me to be close to you? And I thought, oh, in that moment, yes, because when we're close to Jesus, everything else flows out of that. We don't have to try and be a good anything when we walk so closely with Jesus. And so I want to leave that with you today. I want to encourage you to make that your prayer this coming summer, a little more time maybe to just connect with God and walk with him and really pay attention to his presence and say, God, teach me this summer to be close to you. And so I want to leave that with you. And we're going to close in prayer. I'm going to invite you to close your eyes with me as we pray. And there's three different things I want to pray this morning. I want to pray in regards to that exhortation. So let's go ahead and do that. Lord, we pray this morning that you would teach us to be close to you. God, that above all else, all of the things that we think we must do to please you, God, that you would wipe those away and we would learn to be. That we would learn to be in your presence. That we would learn to be close to you. And that all of these other things, even the things we spoke of this morning, would flow out of a close relationship with you. Lord, I also want to pray in regards to our field. God, we understand the importance of covering our field, but there are times, Lord, where it can be intimidating and scary. God, I pray that your Holy Spirit would begin to reveal opportunities to us. God, that we would begin to notice the people in our field in a new way. God, that we wouldn't turn a blind eye in the hurriness and the busyness of the things we're going about, but God, we would start to look up and we would start to really look at our field. And Lord, that we would be intentional and personal in covering our field, Lord God. I pray that you would infuse us with creativity. God, I pray that you would give us the courage to share our stories, Lord, so that they might impact others. Lord, we thank you that you have given us fields. I pray that you would help each one of us to lay claim to those. And the last thing I want to pray today is maybe you're here and you've not ever initiated a relationship with Jesus and you're not even sure what that means. Jesus came and died for us to clean us of our sin and to give us new life in him so that we can walk with him for eternity. And we can walk in a close friendship and relationship with him. If you've never made that decision and this morning you're saying, you know what, I want to make a decision for the first time to follow Jesus. If that's you, I'm not going to ask you to come forward, but I am going to ask you to just raise your hand where you're at. I'd love to pray with you before you leave. Is there anyone here like that this morning that says, you know what, I would love to have a relationship with Jesus. Would you pray with me?